Here
What's
we are.
What's up there, buddy?
Again.
Deb's here.
Soap's Mango's here. Mango's here. Sandra's here. Everybody's here. Michael's here. Annie Dawn is here.
Pookie's fucking was in. She was Pookie. In here. She sees us talking to boxes and light boxes. She doesn't know what those are, but it's just, it's like, oh, it's time to fuck shit up. She runs up here and she thinks it's all fucking a game.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to chew on all your mouse cords.
Step on all the keyboards. Yeah, jump on top of the fucking laptops.
I have a spray bottle in here of like Febreze, and I have one of hairspray too because I don't spray at her. Obviously, I wouldn't do that, but it's like she doesn't like the noise that a spray bottle makes.
Just spray bottle.
But she knows that it's a spray bottle, so all you have to do is take it out and show it to her, and she's like, "Ah!" And then she jumps down and runs away. She's like,
"Same thing with a vacuum cleaner."
Yeah.
Just grab a vacuum cleaner, and she's like, "Fuck!" And gotta go.
Although the weird thing is, she's not bothered by the shampooer.
No, the carpet cleaner, the carpet shampooer.
Even though that makes a noise too.
It's just
kind of, but it's just, I don't know. And they look kind of the same.
It's just kind of the same. It's just the idea that that thing's eating the fucking ground. And it doesn't make sense from a cat's point of view. Why would you do that? Why would you run
right,
that thing
around?
Right,
that's what I mean. Life must be very confusing for a cat. It's like, what the hell are these, two-legged, hairless cats doing?
Why would you just run that thing around and have it fucking yell at the carpet?
Have it yell at the carpet.
Yeah, it's a carpet yeller.
Yeah. I think Beijing hates the vacuum cleaner more than Pookie does.
Yeah.
I mean, Beijing will run in here, knock every single thing over, jumping up on my desk and jumping up and hiding behind the shit, way up there by the ceiling. And she'll just, duck down back there. I've taken pictures of her with her little eyeballs peeking
out. Beijers can't fucking believe it. I mean, she's up there just totally indignant. Just, what the fuck? Why?
Yeah, she gets. She's very put out. She's very put out by this. But she fucking flips out. So So what are we talking about today? Oh, okay.
Talking about that program, that show.
That program.
What about that exorcism?
That movie.
It was good.
You know what? I kind of loved this movie, and I don't say that a lot, but it's so. This is called The Cleansing Hour.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's an exorcism movie. It's on Shudder. It's a Shudder original. Shudder exclusive, kind of. I don't know. It's kind of a comedy, but it's kind of a serious. I mean, it has a lot of comic elements to it, but it's not I don't know. I don't know if I'd call it a horror comedy.
They just took the same concept that was really cool in the 80s and the 90s, where you're going to have a fucking good horror movie, but then they updated it to social media times. But it's still like a low budget, crazy fucking flick we used to watch. It's just that it doesn't look low budget anymore. It looks high budget.
Yeah, even though this is low budget, but it's like it doesn't look like it.
It don't look like it anymore. Just goes to show you that some of these streaming services have badass original content that back in the day would have been like a fucking really good movie that you saw in the theater. And now they can make it, on a fraction of the budget, and the fucking, the production is fucking top notch, and the acting is really good. And it's about, this movie's a trip. It's about a guy who's a YouTuber, and he's
Or they live stream anyway.
They live stream. He live streams these paranormal events.
Well, it's an exorcism show.
He's
called The Cleansing Hour.
Yeah, and he dresses up like a priest, and he goes out and does these exorcisms, but it's all a hoax.
Yeah, they're fake.
The subs don't realize it. But this fucker's badass, man. He all comes onto the fuck. It's got really good production values. The music, his show does. Chanting and fucking almost like a heavy metal fucking spin to it.
I love the intro for his show.
Yeah, and he comes on as fucking young, sexy priest in his fucking early 30s. He's doing the sexy Jesus routine and shit. You know what I mean? He's got the fucking beard, the beard-a-stache. I'm going to call it a beard-a-stache. Like something Ming the Merciless would have. He's got his fucking priest robes and shit. He takes it off and shit. And he's got some good muscle definition, and his delts and his abs, He's like I said, he's in sexy Jesus mode. He's thin with definition. And of course, all the female subs, in the movie, they fucking love this dude.
Throwing hearts at him.
Yeah, he's like a fucking sex symbol, and he's fucking fighting demons and shit. Well, he makes such a fucking stir that he attracts the attention of a real demon.
Because you knew that shit was going to happen.
Yeah, you knew that shit was going to happen. So he's got to do this possession, and at first he thinks it's fake. No, this shit was fucking real. In fact, demons manifest. Like
they do.
Yeah, eventually a demon's man and walk through the room, and the fact the special effects were good. The story was good. It was good.
I want to see it again. I mean, yeah, I do too.
I kept having to leave the room for fucking shit. I was cooking something. Remember what it was? I was cooking something. I had to keep checking on the fucking oven.
Yeah, the thing about this one, like I said, it's, you know, exorcism movies are like a dime a dozen. But, so I was just kind of like, well, another exorcism movie, okay. But I liked the angle that they kind of came at this one from. And also, I think what really makes this movie is that, one, it has comedic moments, but it's not like over-the-top zany or anything like that. I liked the social media aspect. The thing that I think really elevates this movie is the acting and the relationships between the characters, particularly with the priest, quote unquote, Father Max.
Yeah, he's a fake priest.
And his best friend, Drew, who is like his behind the scenes guy. Like he's the one that, you know, manages the stream and like, you know, kind of gets all the crew together to do the special effects and everything. And these two, like they kind of go back a little bit. They do some flashbacks because they were both like in, you know, parochial school or whatever the fuck they call it. Catholic school together, and so they've been friends since children, and I think they did a really good job establishing like the deep friendship between these two guys, and the guys are like, and they have like a really complicated relationship too. You can tell they love each other, they're best friends, and they've been best friends since they were kids. They kind of stick up for one another, like, you know, when one got bullied, it's like the other one stick up for him and everything. But it's also kind of like complicated now because Father Max is kind of the face of the show, yeah, the cleansing hour.
He's getting all the attention
yeah. because he's like all good looking and foxy and everything. Yeah. And he's the one that's on camera. Whereas Drew is like the one that's behind the camera. He's the one doing all the work, essentially.
Yeah, he's like the tech nerd.
Yeah. And he does take like more of the money. But so that's like another kind of point of contention. So it's kind of like interesting the way they set up like the relationship between these two.
Yeah, and as the story unfolds, the guy behind the camera turns out he's fucking really good at what he does too. He saves dude's ass. He's heroic and shit. It's good.
That's another cool thing is that everybody, even though they're very flawed characters and like some of them do some shitty things or have done some shitty things in the past, like as the story goes on, everyone really kind of like rises to the occasion of like shit that they have to do to like fucking sort this shit out. Because what ends up happening? So like I said, they have this show. I don't think it's YouTube. They don't mention YouTube.
That's what it's trying to be.
But it's kind of like some
Twitch
or some like live stream type of thing. And it's like this is a very popular show. They all make a living at it. They have a whole crew. They have a studio. They have special effects guys. They have all this kind of shit. So it's like they're pretty successful now. So basically their shtick is that every week he comes on and he does his thing and he exercises somebody and it's successful and he sells a bunch of merch. Like he has like prayer cloths and all that kind of stuff. Which
I like Kiss.
Yeah. And I just thought that was like super funny too.
Kiss would do, yeah.
Yeah. He has like all this fucking merch on the side. And then
what's funny, one of the things that's funny is that they go to the fucking club and the fucking, the fake priest guy. He gets up on stage and on karaoke night fucking starts singing fucking heavy metal ballads and shit and all the fucking girls are fucking loving on him. It's just kind of funny shit that happens in the movie.
Yeah.
And they're like, you don't know who that is? You know what I mean? And then you're like, he's a famous exorcist. And fucking dudes in the crowd's like, what? Talking about. And then just showing his online presence and everything. You know, just hilarious, you know.
It is like a very funny, like, you know, thing.
When you work on social media, it's funny.
Yeah.
You know,
and I like that it wasn't, like I said, I think what's good about this movie, because I've seen like a lot of horror movies like based around social media and some of them are good and some of them not so much. I like that this, like, it was a big part of the story, but it wasn't like over the top. And he's like, it wasn't like wink, wink, anything like that. It was just like a very organic part of the story, which I thought was good because some of the ones that I've seen that are based around a social media thing, like they lean too hard into social media or they're trying to make some kind of like comment about, oh, everybody's just like their faces are in their phones and blah, blah, blah. It's like there's a little bit of that in this, but they don't like go over the top with
it. No, it's just a side. It's just a side part of the story.
Yeah, and it does end up like having
which is the way it really is when you work in social media.
Right.
It's not all your life. It's a side gig.
Yeah, it's just like, it's their job. Yeah. It's their job. And like, they just get bigger and bigger at it.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening, they have this show, it's like successful, but they're, you know, just like anything else, they're trying to make it more successful. So they're trying to, like, Drew is kind of like, maybe we should branch out into doing like other paranormal type things, like ghost hunter type things, because this exorcism thing is a very niche market. And, you know, Father Max is like, no, this is my shtick. I don't want to do that. So there's like some conflict there. So at the beginning, they do a, you know, an exorcism and you think it's a real one, but then like you see all the special effects and shit. So they have the next one set up and Father Max is like, oh, I want to change it up this time. So he wanted to do what he wanted, a drag queen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Scarlett Von Cock. That's
right. That's right. So funny. It's just Scarlett Von Cock.
What was the name of
it? I was fucking kind of happy.
They were
going
to exorcise a drag queen.
And I was like, and I forgot the name, Scarlett Von Cock.
I think that's what the name was. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was too. And I said, Jenny, what's this dude's name? Red Dick?
Yeah, you said Red Dick.
I said, Red Dick? Pink Dick? She's like, no, Scarlett Von Cock. I said, yeah. Just
pink,
funny
pink
that
dick
I
is funny, though.
Red Dick.
Yeah. I was like, close.
That's all I could come up with when I was drunk. Red Dick.
Crimson Cock would have been funnier. But like, yeah what I mean. So I guess that's how Father Max wants to branch out. It's like, you know, we can't just like exercise like normal people or whatever, like all the time. So we have to get like, we have to keep up in the stakes. So it's like, I found this drag queen at this club and said, you know, she's great and all this other stuff. So what ends up happening is that Scarlett Von Cock gets attacked by this demon that is, whose attention has been drawn by this show, like as it's getting more successful. Scarlett Von Cock gets taken out. So it so happens that Drew's fiance has to step in at the last minute because Scarlett Von Cock doesn't show up. And she has to like be the actor like in the exorcism. But it turns out she gets possessed for real. So I like that they like upped the stakes a lot. Like so you have this thing with Drew, the best friend. He's like kind of feeling like underappreciated because he's like, you know, I don't get all the chicks. Like I just don't get the appreciation because I like work behind the scenes, you know, and everything. So but the fact that his girlfriend is now in mortal danger. And I think it's cool the way that both the guys like kind of come together with their own strengths and they to like defeat the shit. You know what I mean? Now, a lot of people get killed. I'm not saying that because they really don't know what they're doing because they just know how to do fake shit.
What I liked about the movie is that the movie kind of, it makes a lot of social commentary, but it doesn't do it directly. It's doing it indirectly.
Yeah, okay. That's what I meant. It wasn't real, like...
You're right. It's not preachy or anything that's not fucking political, but it's also making a lot of fucking statements about where we are in history, okay? It's talking about, basically what the movie's showing you is, one, the death of the rock star. The death of the movie star, okay? The fucking celebrity of the future are guys that are streaming from their homes... who have star power quality. They got fucking shit tons of fucking subscribers. And they go to the fucking clubs and sing karaoke. Okay?
Yeah.
Which, with the lockdowns, the death of fucking theaters, fucking entertainment giants like fucking Disney starting to falter, Hollywood going shitty. This movie is a product of the times that it's talking about. And that's what I really liked about it. It's giving you... excuse me. Old school, good quality writing and storytelling, but it's talking about very contemporary fucking, you know what I mean? It's very much 2020.
Yeah.
It's talking about a world that's coming. You know what I mean? A one where celebrities are do-it-yourself. And that's what I like. That's what I liked about it. Because that's going
to
be the future.
And it just goes to show, too, like the one part where they go to the bar and they sing karaoke and it's like these girls are like their big fans.
Yeah,
they know who they are.
Like,
but
this?
Everybody's like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah,
but it's like he has like hundreds of thousands of followers.
Right.
But it's just kind of like this whole niche little.
So everything's a niche.
And there are some scenes, too, where they show like somebody in Israel and somebody in like Korea and something like that. And they're watching them like on their phone.
Dudes in Afghanistan are trying to call bullshit on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like funny.
That's actually what's happening. That's what I liked is that it's a story that's telling today's reality, not yesterday's.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about it. And the movie fucking was and the movie itself is a product of fucking Shudder. It went straight to streaming.
Yeah.
On a small budget. So, and the quality of the movie's really punching way above its fucking weight. So taking all that into account, I just love this movie. I love the way this movie just, you know, I like it.
Yeah, I mean,
this is a 2021 movie, basically.
I mean, your mileage may vary. Maybe some people, I've seen like a couple, like, because I think this might have premiered at Fantastic Fest, like in 2019, and then it got purchased by Shudder.
Yeah.
So I've seen a couple people that didn't love it because they're like, oh, another extras in the movie, blah, blah, blah. But in general, like, I think on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like up in the 80s or 90s, like, you know, positive reviews. I have seen a couple negative reviews of it, but most of them are just like, oh, you know, it's just doing the same thing again. But I don't really think it was. And honestly, you know, yes, there are a lot of exorcism movies, but I really liked, like I said, I think the heart of this was the relationship between the two guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because the two actors in it were so, so good. And, you know, you really bought their friendship. You cared about them. You didn't want, you didn't want them to get hurt. You didn't want, and you wanted to see them succeed.
Yeah.
And you wanted to see them, like, come together and, like, you know, get their shit together. And so I really liked that. You were, like, rooting for them. And I think that's the best thing that I liked about it.
I liked the movie, but I also am going to go meta with it. And said I like what surrounded the outside of the movie, too. The meaning of it.
Yeah.
This is an artifact of the new coming era.
Yeah.
It shows you that you don't need a big, huge budget to make a fun, respectable movie that has meaning.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I liked about it.
Yeah. I just found this really, really entertaining.
And it talks about how social media is just kind of fucking woven into the fucking fabric of fucking society now. There's no escaping it. There's no reversing it.
Yeah.
So it's just the themes that I liked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That too, like I said. And but, you know, that was good. And I, like I said, I liked that they didn't, you know, push too hard on the, like, you know, oh, look, and we have a YouTube channel or anything. It was just kind of like, it was shown as like a regular job, and like they were just doing it like a regular job, like a regular TV show or whatever.
Right.
And so I should say this was actually written and directed by Damien Levesque. This is his first full-length movie.
Okay.
He actually made a short film of this back in 2016. So I guess he was like trying to secure funding to make like a feature film out of it. And I think he's done a couple other shorts too, but this is his first full-length movie, which that's pretty impressive because like I said, I see a lot of horror movies and I like a lot of horror movies, but I think like after we watched this one, I was like, I legit loved this movie.
Yeah, I want to see it again. I'd buy this on Blu-ray and add it to my fucking material collection. I like to have a physical product. I'd own this.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just really something about this one that appealed to me. I think I just really, really liked all the characters. It was fun movie. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
I got really emotionally invested like in the stakes of it. There was just something about it that just like really, really appealed to me.
It was the tone.
I think it was.
It was the tone and careful writing. Everything came back around later.
I said that to you, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah. I said everything that was like set up earlier, like came back. So it was like really, it was a really tight script. It was really like well written. But yeah, so like I said, don't be discouraged because like, oh God, another exorcism movie. Because it really does kind of go a little bit of a different way with it. I mean, it's going to have some of the tropes of an exorcism movie just because that's what it is. But I like that they did something new with it. They did something a little more modern with it. And like I said, I thought it was a cool fucking movie. So good on you, Shudder. And, you know, you ready to wrap it up?
I'm just, reading what people are saying.
It's funny because they were mostly talking about cats.
Yeah, it's like Khan's waiting for the poltergeist to show up.
Mango says, check out Detectives. Yes, I think you said that to me before. I need to like watch that. That's on Shudder as well. That's a series, right? Because I'm going to write it down because I keep forgetting. I have like so many things I got to watch. It's like we got to, we're going to do another matinee tomorrow. I wanted to do Haunting of Bly Manor tomorrow, but I haven't had time to finish watching it. I think I'm on the fourth one. I'm on the fourth episode. So I still have to finish watching it. So I'll probably review it on Wednesday, maybe.
Yeah. So Cleansing Hour. You guys want to check that one out. That's a good one. It's worth watching.
Oh, it definitely is. All right. So we'll probably need wrap this up because I got to...
We got a fucking heavy schedule, don't
you? Ooh, yeah. I got to record a radio show later. And
She's going on the radio tonight.
I think it's recorded. I don't think it's live.
Okay.
And it's all about true crime. And I got like a big list of like, notes of like true crimes that I got to like brush up on so I don't sound like a moron on a month's show.
Yeah.
So I got to spend the next couple hours doing that before I go on. So, you know. All right. So we'll see you guys again tomorrow for another movie review. Thanks, everybody, for stopping by. Bye.